Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I come this afternoon just saying thank you for all your many wonderful blessings that's new every morning. I come in the name of Jesus, first of all, repenting of every sin that I've committed knowingly, unknowingly, what's in my thoughts, my words, my actions, or my deeds. I'm asking you, Lord, to please forgive me. Please create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Lord, you are so worthy to be praised in this place, Lord God, on today, Lord. You are worthy to be praised over these airways, Father. We just thank you for the opportunity to come before your presence, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say unto the church today. And so, Lord, we just want to say thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for everyone that has tuned in on today, Lord God. We pray that, Father, none would leave this broadcast, Lord God, without receiving what they need from you on today, Lord God. And so, Lord, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that you will supply every need in their life according to your riches and glory, whether it's a spiritual need, whether it's a physical need, or Father God, a financial need, Lord. We just pray in the name of Jesus, our emotional need, Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus that you will minister to every believer, Lord, even as I minister to you in worship, Lord God. That, Father God, that you will begin to give answers, Lord God, and resolve conflict in people's lives, Lord God. That you will destroy the works of darkness that's been set out against your people's souls, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And so, Lord, we just want to say thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. We praise you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Now, Father, I surrender the service to you. I ask that not my will, but thy will be done, Lord God. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will not let me speak what I want to speak, but let me only speak with your spirit. Give me utterance. Let me not do anything, Lord God, that you not want me to do, Lord. I surrender my entire being to you, Father God, that, Father, your will be done. And so, Lord, we thank you in advance in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the blessings of the Lord that make it rich and add no sorrow. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lee. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. And I live my voice to worship you, of my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King. And what you hear, let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ears. We we the heavens and your ruler of the earth, O Lord, O Lord, O
we exalt thee. We exalt thee. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I praise you. My King. Lord, I praise you. My Lord, I praise thee. I praise thy name, thy King. As it is in heaven. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, I praise your name. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, I praise your name. Forever. Amen. Come on and bless.
Amen. Right away, you are sanctified. He's worthy to be free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. I'm singing, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Because he first loved me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Jesus, because he first loved me. Oh, he loved me. He loved you, yes. The Lord loved you. Hallelujah. Hey,
hey.
Come on and praise him, hallelujah. Come on and praise the Lord, hallelujah. Come on and lift your voice. Come on and lift your voice right where you are. Praise him.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise
Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, thank you, God.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. He worthy to be praised.
Come on and bless me. Come on and bless me right where you are. Give God the praise, for he alone is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah.
I just give God the glory and the honor today because he's worthy to be praised.
Yeah.
I bless God for the opportunity to come before his presence on today. I bless God for him just being God all by himself. In the last, I would say, week or so, there's been a lot of things that God has, like, really been dealing with me about. He's been dealing with me a whole lot about the things about where the church is in the spirit right now. And when I say the church, I'm not just talking about this particular congregation. I'm talking about the body of Christ. And there's a lot of things that's been in my spirit. There's been a lot of things that he's been showing me and dealing with me. I know on last week I told you all about going back and looking at the pictures of hell, where it's the full trip to hell and everything. And when the Spirit of God had me to tell you to go back and look at that, it was a reason for that. And I can just about tell you majority of the folks I know haven't looked at that. A majority of the folks haven't looked there because I know that people, that's not something people want to look at. But just this past week alone, I had a relative to pass away. And they were young. They was 31 years old. And I look at their life. I look at the things that I saw in their life. And I look at the comments people make, like on the internet and everything. And I said, it's amazing to me how we as people, we, especially those who go to church, you know, we'll say one thing out of our mouths, but we don't live the lives that was, you know, that we're saying. And I'm talking about stuff I hear people say, you know, like if I was somebody that walked around all the time and I walked around all the time cussing people out on a daily basis. And if I was the up and down, somebody was to say, oh, you know, she was this great Christian. Well, that would be a lie. Because how could I say that I was what you're saying? How can you say that I'm that thing, that, and I'm not living what is supposed to be living? Because the scriptures tell us that we're not supposed to allow corrupt communication to come out of our mouth. That our communication should be edifying to the ears of the listener. And so, you know, I'm using cussing, but negative talking. You see what I'm saying? Let's say I'm negatively talking all the time. Every time I open up my mouth, I have something negative to say. And negativity is not truth. Because there's some people that get truth and negativity messed up. And the truth is not always pretty. And what's another problem that God was dealing with me about in the body of Christ? That's what it all stems around. It stems around the truth. Speaking the truth in love, knowing the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And when you really, really know Jesus, Jesus began to reveal stuff to you about yourself that you don't even realize. I mean, because it's so easy to get caught up in high-mindedness. It's so easy to be selfish and self-centered. It's easy. I mean, it's easy to sin, period. Sin is not hard at all. Our nature is sin. But our spirit is what has been regenerated when we accept Jesus as our Savior. But it's our soul that is progressively saved. So, yes, our spirit is regenerated. But we got a body that's not surrendered unto the Lord. And we got this soul in the middle that depending on which one we feed, if we feed the flesh more than we feed the spirit, it's going to determine what's going to rule our soul. And so we talk about truth. And truth, you know, being on the inner parts. You know, I know what hell is like. I've seen different parts of hell. I know the trickery of the enemy. I know how he lies to people. How he convinces people into thinking, well, I'm all right. There's nothing wrong with me or this and that. And the scriptures is plain when he say if we say we have no sin, then we're a lie. You know, the truth is not this, because he said we've all sinned and come short of glory. But he said, not just that scripture, but he say that we have that scripture is a past tense, but the other verse that talks about there being sin there, that is a present tense. He said, if you say you have no sin, then you're lying. The truth not in. That's a present tense scripture. So when we're looking at these things, there is always something. And I'm going to tell you one of the things over the years that God had to deal with me about, literally from a teenager on up. Because when I was a teenager, I was more critical of the things that I saw. The things that I would hear when people would say I'm a Christian and I would see certain things, I was a lot more critical. And as I got older, getting to know Jesus, getting to know his heart, I noticed that I'm not critical, but I have a discerning eye about things. God shows me different things. He shows me the why behind things. And it's because anytime you are real intercessor, anytime you're going in and you're really praying for people, God will reveal to you the nature of what it really is. And so, you know, you're praying not from your point of view, but you're praying from his point of view. See, because even when I pray in tongues, I know what I'm praying. See, I have an interpretation of the tongue. Although there's sometimes when God gives me the interpretation of what I'm praying, he will not let me say it in English. But I know exactly what I'm talking about. There's a very few times there's certain things that come out that I might not exactly know what he's talking about, but majority of the time, he lets me know. And it's because of the fact that when I'm praying for people, there are certain things that he does not want to be released into the atmosphere that's known. They can be registered as a known word. There's sometimes when I'm praying for people, I see very embarrassing things about their lives that he will not allow me to disclose. There's times where he's saying, you know, look at this and look at that. What all this got to do with what I'm looking at in the body of Christ? When I see the body of Christ, it's so easy for people to slip over into religion than to worship him in spirit and truth. I think when people see that scripture about how the Father is searching for us to worship in spirit and truth, I think they overlook that. They bypass it with a casualty. But when he's saying that, he's talking about the truth of who we are and the truth of who he is. Because the truth of the matter is, when you sit back and look at yourself, you're not what you think you are. Because the scriptures lets us know that the heart is desperately wicked and we know not what's in it. And a lot of times we don't want the mirror to fall in front of us for us to really see ourselves. It's easier for us to think, oh, somebody's jealous of us, or that's why they're not dealing with me like this right now, or they got this other problem. Why that might not be that you got some things that's there that maybe a person is pulling back. because they don't want to be around. Have you ever thought about that? Now, and some people will trick themselves, they don't want to be around the God in me. You know, I've never been like that, even though God has even dealt with me at times when I've been around certain people and I could tell that they was uncomfortable about God resonating off me. I've never been like that. Because I understand that I'm a human being. And I understand that the enemy tries little stupid stuff all the time. And so you got to be aware of his tactics. You got to be aware of the things that he do, because he's a deceiver, and he's deceived a whole lot more. And when the Lord was talking to me about this stuff, he started taking me to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And y'all give me 1 second, because I done this. I did something to my screen. That I can't, for some reason, I don't know what the heck I did. Hold on 1 second. Oh, there it is. Okay. I want to take you to something that the Spirit of God dealt with me. Okay. For some reason, give me 1 second. It's not going to where I'm supposed to be. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm going to go to John. I'm going to do St. John. I'm gonna I'm gonna go to John 9, and I want to I really want to go to verse 16. I'm going to start there, because there's some things I'm going to read down. And it says, therefore says some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him, that he has opened thy eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doeth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means now he seeth, we know not, or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened my eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not a God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and doest thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, doest thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. You all, the statement Jesus made when they asked him that question, it's the same statement that's resonating in the spirit right now. Because there are many that claim that they see, but actually they don't see. Actually, they're blind. They're either blinded by the pride of life, you know, the pride of what they think they are, or what they're trying to be, or just simply of knowledge that they feel like they might have had, or this and that. You know, one of the things I've learned from God a long time ago, And I continuously to see this to this day, is that we need to understand that we know nothing. That's why Paul said everything that he's known, everything he's learned, he counted as done. In other words, he was saying he counted as duty. In order for him to know the excellencies of Christ. And so one of the biggest blindness of this life, it just amazes me how people walk in a state of vanity, a state of pride, but yet can't see ourselves. And anytime God begins to pull back the curtain on something or try to show a little piece of us, piece of this, a piece of that, we get upset. We have issues. And this is the most famous statement I've heard in the churches throughout the years. Well, you can't judge me. Well, that's not according to scripture. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Yea, the deep things of God. Matter of fact, when Jesus told them, judge not lest you be judged, for the same measure that you meet, it shall be measured back again. He said, thou hypocrite. He was telling him to first take the beam out of his own eye that he could see clearly to take the mote out of his brother's eye. But he never told him that he couldn't judge it. He said, but you make sure you got the bigger thing out of yours first. So, you know, it amazes me when people say these things. It's like, and I sit around a lot of times when I hear people talk, because, you know, that's always the statement, because when people feel like, well, you know, you know, you're trying to say this. No, I'm not trying to say nothing, but the word of God and the words that come out of your mouth judges your own self. And the Bible says that you would know them by the fruits they bear. So, you know, I know I'm saying all these different things, and it's like I'm going back to what I was talking about earlier, how people say all these things, but at the end, with the fruits of your life, the fruits of your mouth, it's going to speak for you. Matter of fact, when a lot of people get to heaven, the very words that's going to judge you is going to be your own words out of your own mouth. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize this. I had a little funny episode in the wee hours of the morning. I was so darn tickled, but I know the person that I was talking to wasn't tickled. But I was tickled because it tripped me out. But the Lord was like, well, at least they have no sense to realize that quickly that their words could get them into trouble. But the Lord dealt with me about how most of the people in the church don't even realize that the words out of their mouth is what get them in trouble. That's why the scriptures tell us not to say more than yea or nay, but to say more than that, we will cause ourselves to sin because of the things that we say. Okay, so then we look at this where Jesus, I'm going to look at it in another translation. He said, these words came to the ears of the Pharisees who were with him, and they said to him, He said, Lord, I have faith, and he gave him worship. And Jesus said, I came into this world to be a judge, so that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. These words came to the ears of the Pharisees who were with him, and they said to him, are we then blind? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now that you say we see, your sin is there still. Now you got to understand, that's a very powerful statement. You know, he's telling them, he's like, okay, if you're blind, you are all right. Because in other words, I'm coming so you may have sight so you can see. But if you're saying that you see, and there's different things that you're tripping up on, different things that you can't see about, the first person that you should see anything about should be yourself. Yeah. You are the first partaker. And that's the reason why the Lord and I laugh a lot of days, because the things that I preach and teach, I am the first partaker of. And I understand that this stuff right here, the stuff that I preach and teach, that I have to make sure that my own heart is examined. And so you got to understand that God is looking. And he's saying, are you blind? Or are you saying that you see? And he's like, if you're blinded by, and let me tell you a lot of things that people are blinded by. A lot of people are blinded by doctrines of devils, of demons. A lot of the doctrines that's in the churches did not come from God at all. There is a lot of doctrines where demonic spirits influence men to put that there. And people are so quick to say, well, we know these are holy men. I don't know if they was holy men. Was you there with them? Could you see what was in their heart when they doing this and doing that? No, you don't know that. And to sit up and say, well, we know
That's why it's laughable to me, even when the Pharisees were saying, well, we know God was Moses. How you know? Because of what the people's testimony they gave about him, because you didn't know yourself. So you got to understand something. God, the Lord sat down one day and he was talking to me. I was in college and I was taking some classes, and it was on different things about the Bible, different things that was written, and not, you know, different stuff that came about and how certain things got placed here and placed there and all this kind of stuff. And I never forget, God was talking to me as I was reading over one of my assignments. And the Lord told me as plain as day, he said, you do realize that a lot of these folks did stuff they had absolutely no business doing. He said, and it caused a lot of people to err. It caused a lot of people to trip up on things. He said, but the totality of the truth of my word stands. And he was like, my word is a lamp unto the feet and a light unto our pathway. And he began to let me know that there was things that men sat down at tables and decided to take out of the Bible. There was things that they decided that what they was going to keep, so instead of just keeping it out. And so then you have to sit back and ask the question, why did they take this out? Why did they take that out? And so when you sit and you look at these different things, you got questions that come up. And so, you know, we're talking about blinders being taken off, and, you know, I'm gonna be honest with you. Everybody that's lived in the United States have seen these images that they give of Jesus, right? And every time you see Jesus, they usually have him looking like some frail looking white man. I'm just gonna keep it real. And he usually, when I say frail, because I haven't seen like a real muscular one. That's what I'm trying to say. And so I be wondering sometimes. Y'all gotta understand, I got a real creative mind. I'm like, so this is God who created mankind, and you want me to think he looked frail looking, but yet he had the strength to carry his cross to a certain point after he'd been excruciatingly beaten. He had been whipped with these whips that had claws and balls on it, which means it was turned away parts of his flesh, parts of his meat, when it was hit. Rabanda kaya bullshit. Krabanda bullshit. And part of the meat would tear away. So you want me to believe that this was a frail, skinny man? Y'all understand what I'm saying? And I said, Lord, I said, I don't understand. I said, I just don't, my brain can't conceive it. Okay? I said, even if you was a real skinny man, I believe that you still had to be highly muscular to obtain some of this stuff that went down with you. Although I know it was all a miracle. You know what I'm saying? That y'all don't even understand. It was a miracle for him to even get through the beating without being dead. Yeah. And so, you know, I'm like, it was a miracle. And that's why Jesus said, I came so that those who are blind could see, and those that say that they see will become blind. Because, man, it's a lot of people that think they know so much. And I'm going to tell you something. One of the things that God has really dealt with me about over the years, I'm like, I just don't have time for those kind of people. That's not what I'm called to. And I've gotten to a point where it's like, why waste my breath? Why waste this and that? I'm like, because you know. And so, you know, when people know, or they feel like they know, it gets you in a lot of trouble. And I'm gonna tell you what's so fun to me. When people say, well, now I was asking because of this, I really want to know. It wasn't you was asking because you had an underlying meaning behind what you was doing. Just like when Jesus was calling the Pharisees and the Sadducees out when they was asking questions because it really wasn't like I really want to know. It's really that I'm trying to show my knowledge or I'm trying to flip you up a little bit and try to trip you up. Yeah. The same, it's, you know, God shows, he when you have discernment, he shows you all that. And people get ticked off when you call them out on the carpet with it because you see it. I see it. And I call them out on the carpet. And so, you know, the Spirit of God is like, I come for you to see. So they always showing you this picture of this skinny man. You understand what I'm saying? And I never forget the first time I saw a guy play Jesus that wasn't skinny. And I was like, oh, snap. I said, you know what? I can see that. I was like, Lord, I can see that. I said, he actually looked like somebody that would be more convincing to me. Because I'm thinking about this is a car. Jesus was a darn carpenter. Do you not understand the revelation of that? He was cutting stuff up. You understand? Nailing stuff down. He was lifting heavy things. So do you really think he was a weakling? You get what I'm saying? And so I my mind went to, you know, because people always say it's because somebody's small. I've seen very small men be really, really like muscular, really ripped and muscular. So, you know, I was like, but I noticed that they always want to show like this frail, like, man. And you got to always look at, well, where that stuff come from. Being in college, I learned the origin of a lot of that stuff. It come from, what's that man name? I'm getting ready to say his name. His name went right out of my Da Vinci Code. Y'all do know the Da Vinci Code is so demonic. He was sick. And you can see the influence of the Da Vinci Code throughout everything that a lot of the stuff that is brought down in our Christian art. A lot of things, the depictions, you even see it in the movies. Man, I was watching, y'all know The Passion of Christ. I was watching The Passion of Christ, and I was looking at, even in The Passion of Christ, it influenced The Passion of Christ. I said, now this man is sitting up here doing The Passion of Christ. Y'all, they had Mary Magdalene in there, and y'all know what color she had on? She had red on. You know where they come from? They come from the Da Vinci Code. The Da Vinci Code he always showed Mary Magdalene in red. And in the Da Vinci Code, he had Mary Magdalene in scenes that Mary Magdalene shouldn't have been in. Because when I was in college, I never forget, we were dealing with one of the scenes and the teacher was talking about that's Mary Magdalene. I said, well, not according to scripture, that's not Mary Magdalene. And, you know, I had my Bible with me in the class. So I pulled out my Bible. I went to the scripture that the verse that had to do with there. And so she was like, well, you know what? You're right. She said, but we got to go by what they saying. You know, this is the way they did it. So she, you know, she like she was meaning to it. It was a lie. You understand what I'm saying? And so this is what I'm getting around to. Because, you know, some people get raffled on the cuffs when you're talking about, well, no, you know, these people now did it. Okay, so let's talk about all these fathers of the faith who saw this stuff, accepted this stuff, had this stuff written down. That's where all this mess come from. In the Da Vinci Code, they try to lure to Jesus, almost like having a homosexual relationship. And the parts of they when they did try to lure that, they try to lure that Jesus and Mary Magdalene had a thing going on. I never forget a friend of mine called me years ago. He was having a conversation with someone, and they was arguing back and forth. And I didn't know this, like, from knowledge off the top of my head, but the Holy Ghost gave it to me, and after he gave it to me, he turned around and took me to the scripture. So my friend was saying that the guy was saying that Mary Magdalene was Jesus' wife because of, y'all remember the scene where Mary was washing Jesus' feet? Okay, well, in that scripture where Mary was washing Jesus' feet, That was Mary of Bethany. That was Lazarus' sister. That was not Mary of Magdalene. And the scriptures tells you that very plain. And so they was looking at, he was looking at that, he was saying, nah, I'm telling you, because according to their custom, when a woman washed your feet, that was your wife, blah, 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 blah. And so my friend called me, he said, man, he said, it was just on me to call you, you know. And I didn't even know this off the top of my head. This was not knowledge that I knew at that time, but I was being led by the Spirit of God. And I said, that wasn't Mary Magdalene, that was Mary of Bethany. And so, you know, when I said it and God said it out of my mouth, I was like, oh, Lord, let me go check this out to make sure that I said what was right. You know, because I was just saying what the Lord told me to say. That's all I was doing. And so when I got off the phone, you know, I'm in there flipping through the Bible. Now, I think I started flipping through the Bible while I was on the phone with him. I flipped through the Bible and I went there and the Lord showed me to him. He said, this is exactly what I said to you. This is exactly what it is. And so, you know, and so I was like, whoa, but you got to understand how all these different lies, and he didn't get that man to pull that out of the sky. He got it from the Da Vinci Code stuff that affected all the Renaissance art, Christian artwork, and you know, and everything they had. All that stuff was down out. It influenced. So it influences the faith even to this day, because a lot of people lean heavier on what they see versus what they read. Because the Bible says study to show yourself a work, to be a workman that need not be shamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yeah. It's very important. So, you know, like I said, the Holy Ghost be revealing something to me. I never forget years ago, the Holy Ghost had revealed something else to me in a verse, and somebody was talking to me one day about it, and I told him, I said, that's not in the scripture. That person searched those scriptures backward and forward, and to this day has not come back and said to me that they was wrong. They couldn't find it. So, you know, these are the type of things that be etched in your mind when you sitting around talking to people. People say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm this, I'm this and that. Because when I'm wrong about something, man, I come back to you in a minute and tell you, you know what, I was wrong about that.
Yeah, you do.
I'm like, I went and I looked at this and I looked at that. And I'm telling you, to this day, all that be that. No, that's what's there. That's. I'm like, no, it ain't. I told him, I said, the Holy Spirit himself revealed it to me. Because I was in a situation where I was using what I thought was there as my means to why I wasn't going to do something. And God told me, he said, that's not according to the word. That's not even in the scripture. And then he took me to the scripture. And when he took me to the scripture, he said, do you not see it? And I was like, whoa. I'm like, that's not there. I'm like, Lord, all this time, it's because what people teach. See, that's the reason why when I'm preaching and teaching, I give the address of the scriptures. Because I want you to go back and look at it for yourself. So that you won't be blinded. So you won't be deceived. You go and look at it for yourself. God had to detox me for years of teaching and impressions of teaching that was not according to his word. I never forget the day he told me, he said, I'm getting ready to detox you. And when he said, I'm going to detox you from every toxic thing that you've been taught. And he did that. And I'm grateful that he did that. And I'm so grateful to, I'm like, Lord, show me how to teach somebody else to go look at your word. For other people to go search the scriptures for themselves.
Yeah.
And see what is in the word of God. But you know what the God told me? He said, there are some people that search the scriptures, but they search it for the wrong reason. That was the other thing he dealt with me about this week, about being blind and not seeing. He was like, there's people, their heart is so far from him. I ain't never seen so many people in the body of Christ that want a position in the church to be high and lifted up. Do you know it's a place in hell for that? It's a special area of hell for people who want to be high and lifted up. And I just like, Lord, I said, I've never understood that for the life of me. You got to understand, I don't understand. Because I ran for my stuff. I had enough sense to run.
Yes.
Because I was like, look at here, man, I ain't trying to get in trouble. I'm like, Lord, you talking about me being responsible for my soul and for the souls of other people? I'm like, are you serious? I'm like, do you know what you're saying to me? Because the Bible says that no man builds a house.
What you say?
Without sitting down and counting the cost. Because there's a cost. There's a high cost.
Yeah.
So I was looking at this thing on the internet about judgment. And these people appeared before God at the judgment seat. And they was rendered their decision. And this was a man's testimony, because he actually was one of the people that experienced the judgment. And the Lord allowed him to come back to life. And when he was looking at the judgment, it just amazes me. He was a pastor and he was on his way to hell. And some of his members went to hell, and one of the ladies that went to hell, she was like, well, God, I did this in the church and I did that in the church. And he thought that you're going to go to heaven and everything too. And the Lord said, well, you done already got your reward. So you know how people be wanting praise a man? Because they want to be hollered. That's going to be your reward. Your only reward. I'm going to tell you something. The scariest thing to me is for people to praise me. I'm like, I don't want to be praised by you. And people could tell you in a minute, I don't take kindly compliments. I'm not a complimentable person. When people start complimenting me, it starts making me wonderful stuff.
Yeah, my
mind start going to other places. Because I be wondering, okay, what is you of the devil? what is you trying to do? Because I ain't nobody. You understand? I'm serious. Okay, I'm being real honest. I don't know why God got me talking the way he got me talking today. But the Spirit of God knows I'm real serious about that kind of stuff. Because I know it's the things that causes people to go to hell. I've seen different parts of hell, places in hell that I didn't even know existed. And then once I saw it, then God allowed me to see somebody else's testimony, or he allowed me to read a book where somebody had their testimony in there about the very section of hell that I saw myself. And I'm like, man, I didn't even know this existed, God. I'm thinking I'm going to flip out again. And then you don't sit up here and let me find somebody else that see this same place. And he's like, yes, because it's true. And so, hell is real. Why do you go to church? If you're going to continue to be blind, what's the purpose in coming if you're not going to let the light fully shine on what needs to be exposed in your life? And so, I don't know, man. I don't want to be blind. And I don't want nobody else to be blind. Yeah. I want people to be free. The Bible said, who the Son set free is free indeed. There's a liberality in serving the living God. And I'm not talking about for this and for that, but just for the sake of just serving him. Just to be able to be around him, that's an honor. That's a privilege. And we shouldn't take that lightly. He created us. He created us to be a light in this world.
Hallelujah.
He created us to be that finger that points back to heaven, that people can see that God is real. Because most people are never going to pick up a Bible and read it, but whatever they read for the contents of your life is going to show whether or not the Bible is real. So if you are fake, you are phony, what are you telling them about the Bible? Are you showing the real love of God? Are you a truthful person? What are you exemplifying in the word to them? How many people's lives are being tripped up and they finna go to hell because of you? That's a real important question to ask yourself. Because y'all do realize, because we all fitly and joined together, we connect to one another. Some people going to go to hell just from your life. Some people will go to heaven just from your life. What are you exemplifying?
We want to know the heart of God. We want to reveal the heart of God.
There's people who's hungering and is thirsting after righteousness. And God is calling you to step up and fill that void in the body of Christ. He's calling you to come out of the shadows to let his light flow through your soul and expose dark areas of your soul, that he may uproot it and clean it out, that he may use you for his glory and his own. Be that person that God can use. I would be a liar that when I go down my prayer list, that it's some people on my prayer list that has a very nasty taste in God's mouth. And you know, it's sad to me. I'd be really pleased when I get into those areas, and it's because of the stuff he shows me. Man, do you realize you could be somebody that be saying, like you saying, the courage and stuff, but God sees what's in your heart. He knows that you don't mean the stuff to come out of your mouth. Because I'm going to tell you something. Some people say all these like words that they're supposed to be right, but in their heart, they got different thoughts going on. And that stuff is so sad. And God sees that stuff. And he knows it. It's time to be transformed into light. It's time to come out of darkness. That same video that I was watching where the man was talking about judgment, and he was a pastor that died in him. But they had some stuff out from there. Because this pastor in his life, when he was a pastor, he had gotten on this thing where he didn't preach about sin. He said, oh, that's the old dogma, that's this and that. He didn't preach about sin. He had what you call feel-good messages. You know, like, you all right, we all right, you're going to be all right. and that's the type of sermons that he preached. And the Lord was telling him that was one of the reasons why he was going to hell. And he was like, well, Lord, I didn't know, because, you know, I was thinking, because you make people feel this way or feel that way. And the Lord told him, he said, no, you did know. He was showing him how his wife had came to him, talked to him about how she had been around him all the time and had never heard him preach about hell, had never heard him preach about sin, that it was always this. Do you realize majority of the sermons that are out there today, especially by the branded name people, do not preach about sin? They preach about prosperity.
Yeah.
They preach about the feel good. They feel about this and that. And at the end of the day, it's empty and it's vain. Because true prosperity comes from the prosperity of your soul.
Yeah.
He said, I wish before you would prosper and be in good health as your soul prosper and be in good health. Your soul need to be in good health. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your muscle. It is your soul where you are determined to go to hell or to heaven. Your spirit instantaneously go back to God. But your soul has a resting place. It's going to either be in hell or it's going to be in heaven. And that's your mind, your will, and your emotion. In other words, it's your intellect, it's your feelings. You understand that? You know, people say, well, you hurt my feelings. All right. I don't know about you, but I'd rather for God hurt my feelings on this side than for my feelings to be hurt in hell. I'm just keeping it real. I'm keeping it real. I'm just telling you like I know. Because that's a lie about once saved, always saved. The Bible says your name could be blotted out of the Lamb's book of life. That's in Revelation. People don't like to hear that scripture. What do you think backsliding come from? People don't preach about backsliding. Man, there's so much mess up in the church right now. Two, it's just horrible. And the Lord be dealing with me about it. And I'm sorry, I'm not like other preachers. And one of the reasons why I'm not like other preachers is because I am an apostle. I am a true apostle. And we deal with the order of the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is out of order. It's out of order. And it's some stuff that stinks in the nostrils of God. He's not pleased with a lot of the stuff that we're doing. I know it's new people on here. You just not finding your way to Jesus. And so God said, that's good. It's good that you're finding your way to me. It's good that you're learning about me. It's good that you're desiring to hear the truth. That's a blessing. Everybody don't want to hear the truth. So I admonish you to keep on keeping on. Keep on pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. God is coming to take the blinders off that you may see. And for those of you all that think you see, don't get so. The scripture tells us about how we can think we so much until we fall. Why? Because we think we all that. Man, you got to get to a point where you realize, man, I ain't right. You know, people laugh at me all the time because I say, man, I don't trust myself. I don't trust my flesh. See, I ain't like other folks. I'm like, man, I know I'm a human being. And because I know I'm a human being, I don't trust me. I trust God. But I don't trust me. So if I don't trust me, I sure the heck ain't finna trust nobody else's flesh. I'm just keeping it real. We have to learn how to continue to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. You got to allow the love of God to be fulfilled in your heart. Where you love God more than you love anybody else or anything else in this world. That's when your walk is straight.
You'll shut down.
When your love, because when you love him more than you love yourself, you'll find yourself doing stuff to yourself that you like, this hurting me. But I know it's hurting because I know that what I want to do is not right according to his will.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, come on now.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
When we really, really, really love him, when we really, really love him, we love what he loves. And we hate what he hates.
You don't know.
So I just praise God for you. I speak life over you. I speak life over you and life in you. That the presence of God will continue to go with you. And that the light of God will continue to shine over you and in you. And I just pray for those that's in darkness right now, that you will come into the light. And that you will abide in the light. Abide in the light. Abide in the light. Abide in the light. Hallelujah. What profit of man to gain the whole world and to lose his soul? Lord, we just thank you for your word. For your word is a lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. We thank you for these that own this hall, Lord. We speak blessings over their life, Lord. We ask there to be a manifestation of your word in their life, Lord God, and that they will continue to walk in the light of Jesus Christ and in the love of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Prophet Jen, you got it. And that's what we, before you got an answer, do you have anything that God's giving you?